Wow. What a story. What a story. And the amazing thing is that it's not an isolated story. As a matter of fact, one of the great things that we get to do here every single week is just hear story after story after story after story of individuals that God has just stepped in and saved them. And has demonstrated what we talk about every single week here, that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter that God is pursuing you. And you see this in Angie's life, how God pursued her and how he's literally changed her whole life. It's amazing. It's amazing. And for those of you who are here for the first time, we want for you to be able to hear these stories because we believe that God wants to do the same thing in your life. And as we walk into this fall and everything that the fall has to offer and everything that the fall will bring, we're unbelievably excited because we know that there's going to be more stories. We're just going to hear more stories of individuals that God's just changing their life. And I got to tell you, as we walk into this Sunday in particular, we're kicking off our new series. I'm starting to get pumped. I was at the beginning of the day, I was nervous. I was nervous because we put together this new set. Did you guys celebrate the people who did this? And just... But as we walked through that first service, I started to get really excited because what we're talking about, what we're about to walk into is just, it's unbelievably exciting. And again, if this is your first time with us, you need to understand something that we believe about God. You see, we believe God steps into our lives and he, as he does, he comes to us and says, listen, if you'll trust me, I want to adopt you and I want to have a relationship with you as like a father and a child. And I want to instruct you and guide you and all of the questions and everything that comes up in life. I want to be able to walk with you through that and teach you how to be able to thrive in that and help you to be able to live with purpose and with mission and to live the way that you were created to live and to walk you through all the questions that surround that. And let's be honest, right? Like our life is full of questions. I love that song that the band did, and they did a great job of it, by the way. But I remember a couple months ago, Dana came to me with that song, and she's like, "Listen, you have to hear this song." And I'd heard it before; I'd heard it on the radio, and it was pretty popular, and it still is pretty popular. But I had no idea what it was about because I listened to it. It sounds fun, right? It's upbeat. It sounds great. And then she's like, "But you need to read the lyrics." And I read the lyrics, and I realized it might be one of the most depressing songs I've ever heard in my life. And some of you, as we were walking through that song, you're thinking to yourself, wow, you guys just love ruining songs for me. And I was talking to one individual, they're like, you ruined Chandelier for me on Easter, and now you've ruined this song. I can't listen to either one of them and be happy anymore. But as you look at this song, you see an artist inside of our culture reflecting something and talking about something that all of us experience, that as we grow up, we're like, oh, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun. But then as you get into it and as you step into the real world, you realize it's far more complicated than we thought. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in situations and places that we never thought that we'd be. And we don't know how to get out of them. We don't know how to maneuver them. We don't know how to be able to make it through them. And there's all these questions. And God wants to step into our lives and we believe that God, as a father, wants to come in and say, listen, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Let me walk you through this. And I don't think we can say it enough. We say it all the time, but I don't think we can say it enough. Listen, God's not afraid of your questions. It's in the questions. And as he's walking us through those questions, it's there that we actually get to know him. And he welcomes them the way that a father welcomes questions from his child. I experienced this past week. I've got three little boys, and my oldest boy, who's six, came to me, and he was really confused. And my wife had just bought a new pair of jeans, and you guys, I'm sure, know that, you know, like the ripped jeans look has kind of come back in. And so he came to me after, you know, Anna's like, "Oh, I got some new jeans," and he sees them, and he came to me. He's like, "Dad, Mom's jeans have holes in them." He's like, what happened? Did something happen?" And I was like, "No." And Anna's trying to explain it to him. She's like, "No, it's supposed to be this way." And he's like, He's like, so you can bend your knee easier? Like, he's trying to figure this out. He's like, why would you do this? And I loved it. I'm engaging him in this conversation, trying to figure out if I want to explain to him like the vanity of American culture at this point in time and all that he has to grow up in or what. But you see, we believe that about God, that God, he's not afraid of our questions. He doesn't push us away as we come to him with questions, but he welcomes them. He welcomes them and he wants to walk through them with us, including this question, and as you listen to that song, you hear the artist talking about it, this question of community, and this reality that it can be really easy as we're growing up, and we think, man, it's going to be fun, it's going to be great, but it can be really easy as we're on this journey to find ourselves. As we step into the real world and as the world starts to throw us around and as we encounter all that we encounter in life, it can be really easy to find ourselves alone. And as we prepared for this series, the thing that we kept saying is that, you know, we find ourselves in a world that's more connected than ever before. But I think at the same time, we also find ourselves in a culture that, if we're going to be really honest with ourselves, is alone. A culture that's full of people who live life alone. And this idea of connection and community, it's far more complicated than we thought it was going to be. And whether we're talking about friendships or whether we're talking about our connection and relationship with our spouse or our relationships that we're in, it's far more complicated than we thought it was going to be. And I think for a lot of us, and maybe you're not there right now, but for a lot of us, at some point, for all of us, at some point, we find ourselves exactly what the song's talking about. We're just alone, and we're like, what happened? We have all these questions about connecting and this idea of real community. And I think God wants to talk to us about that. As a matter of fact, when you look through his word, I think he's trying to talk to us about that. As our dad, he's stepping in saying, listen, let's talk about community. Let's talk about connection. Let's talk about relationships and how to be able to thrive in this, as opposed to finding yourself in that place where you just feel like you're alone. And as we walk through the next few weeks, that's exactly what we want to do, is we want to engage God with this question of, God, what does healthy community look like in my life? What does healthy connection to the people around me look like in my life? And I know that when we talk about and we use this word community, I know there's going to be a lot of different responses to it. As a matter of fact, I was a little hesitant to use it because of the fact that it means so many different things to so many different people. But I, to be honest with you, I just couldn't come up with a better word. And then also, in addition to that, I think the fact that there's so many different responses to it, it speaks to why the conversation is necessary, because we just don't get it. We don't know. We don't know what it's supposed to look like. We don't know how to be able to really connect well with the people around us. And I know as well there are going to be a lot of presuppositions as you walk into this. And for some of you, you're walking in and you've been a part of Hoboken Grace. You say, oh, we're talking about community. This is just going to be another conversation about how you need to be involved in a dinner group. And don't get me wrong, dinner groups are great. But here's what, as a matter of fact, one of the things that I want to make sure that you understand and that you grab a hold of as we walk through this series is this. A dinner group is not going to provide you with the answers for what healthy community looks like. You're not going to step into a dinner group, and because of the fact that you sit around a table with seven other people every week, you're not automatically going to have connection. You're not automatically going to have great community. As a matter of fact, some of you thought that you got plugged into a dinner group in the past and you expected that, and it wasn't, because no dinner group is going to be that for you. It doesn't happen automatically. And so you left. One of the things that I want to make sure that we understand as we walk through this is that community is far more complicated than just joining a dinner group. It's far more complicated than that. I know, too, for some of you, you walk in, we're talking about community, and you're an extrovert, and I don't understand you at all, but you are, and I'm glad that you're here, because otherwise no one would talk to each other. But But you walk in and you say, community, I've got great community. I don't know, this, you know, this really isn't for me. I've got excellent community. And I want to challenge you a little bit on that as we go into this, because I think the reality is, for some of us, we have a lot of friends, and there are a lot of people that I would say we know about. There are a lot of people that we know what's going on in their life, and we know a lot about them. But when you come to the scriptures, the scriptures doesn't talk about community as knowing about people. The scriptures talk about community on a different level. It's a level where you actually know people. And you're actually known by people. And I think for a lot of us in this room, there are a lot of people that we know about. I mean, social media has made it possible for us to know about a lot of people. And you look at it, you say, I've got great community. I know about a lot of people. Yeah, but here's what I would challenge you with. And as we step into this, I think the challenge for all of us and the question for all of us, it goes beyond who do you know about. And it really goes to this idea of, okay, is there anybody that you really know? Or maybe the better way to ask it is this. Is there anyone who actually knows you? I think we know about a lot of people, but I would be willing to bet that if we were to go around this room and be honest, completely honest, for 99% of us, we would answer the question. As the truth is, no one knows me. They know some of me, they know parts of me. But the truth is, no one knows me. No one knows why it is that you cry yourself to sleep at night. No one knows why it is that you have to have that extra drink at the end of the day. No one knows what it is that really scares you. No one knows. And I think for those of us who are here who are extroverts and you say, I've got great community, I want to challenge you to take maybe a little deeper look at that. The scriptures talk about this idea of actually knowing each other. And when it talks about community, it talks about things that go beyond just kind of knowing about. So it talks about mourning together. And I think that's more than just empathy. It's more than just, you know, I know you and I see you in pain, so I feel some empathy for you. I feel a little bad for you. This is more of an idea of where there's a shared experience because there's a deep understanding and knowledge of one another. The community that you see described in the scriptures, I think, goes beyond knowing about. It speaks to actually being known. And I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think very many of us have that. For those who are introverts here, you're just thinking right now, when is a good time for me to get up and leave? Because even conversations about community and people make you tired. And believe me, I understand that. And I think sometimes when it comes to this conversation as introverts, and believe me, when we talk about community, I am an introvert. I'm not great at community. If you've ever had a conversation with me, you know I'm awkward to talk to. And it's just a reality. But at the same time, there's a part of my life where there's been limited people that I interact with because of my personality. But then there's also been a huge part of my life where there's limited people that I interact with, not because of my personality, but because I just don't want to be known. And I think sometimes as introverts, we hide behind our personality. And this whole conversation, it kind of scares us. And the reality is, no matter who you are, no matter where you're coming from, the reality is the idea of being known is terrifying. I think for all of us it's terrifying. That's why no one knows us. It's terrifying, and there's good reason behind that. As a matter of fact, this is one of the things that God is trying to teach us from the very beginning of the story. One of the things that he's trying to help us see from the very beginning of the story, as he's trying to help us see the impact of sin. From the beginning, he talks about how sin, it impacts, more than anything else, community. Let me just take you back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where we see sin enter into the picture, or what the Bible talks about as sin or selfishness, those decisions that we make that are not loving to those around us, but are rather driven by selfishness. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, it talks about the first moment that sin enters into our story with God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says this. It says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her." And so she bought into this lie that if she took this fruit, she was going to be able to be wise. And so she decided she's going to go for it. It says, "So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too." It says, "At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to them, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" You see this moment, this crucial moment in our history and in our story where sin enters into the picture. And as you see sin enter into the picture, I think it's phenomenal that the first thing that you see it impact, the first thing impacted by sin, is community. The first thing that it destroys is community. And so you see these two individuals, and as they take the fruit, the first thing that happens is that all of a sudden it says that their eyes were open, and as their eyes are open, all of a sudden they realize, wait a second, and they begin to see what selfishness can do, and they realize how they can be taken advantage of, and so immediately they start to hide. Immediately, what's the first thing that they do? They sew together these fig leaves, and they start to hide. God steps into the garden, and they start to hide. The first thing that sin impacts in the story is community and connection. This is one of the reasons why God is so adamantly opposed to sin and fighting against sin. Because he's like, listen. It is going to destroy you. And the connection that you have to the people around you is going to destroy you. And you see it step into the picture. And as it does, not only is their relationship with God impacted, but all of a sudden, their relationship with each other is impacted, and they begin to do something that we have become very good at. They begin to hide. Immediately, the first thing they do, they begin to hide. And from that moment on, we have become very, 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 very good at hiding. We are professional hiders. And we realize what they realize. They realize how they could be taken advantage of. They realize the reality that they were at risk, and so they began to hide. And when we talk about this idea of being known, it's terrifying, because we realize if I'm known, then I can be hurt. If I'm known, then I can be taken advantage of. If I'm known, then I can be manipulated. And because of the fact that sin enters into the picture, it brings into community all of these questions and all of this complication, because now, rather than allowing people to just see me, to actually know who I am, now I have to begin to hide. And we've become very, very good at it. But we still long for connection. There's still something within us. And even though we try to kill it, and some of us have worked very hard to try to kill it, this desire to be connected to other people. But no matter how you try to kill it, it's still there. Even as I grew up as an introvert, I didn't need a lot of people, but I always needed one friend. I just needed one friend. Two friends was a lot of drama. One friend was great. But there's something inside of us that just craves it, and you see it in our culture everywhere. I mean, there's a reason why social media has taken over the world. It's because we just crave that connection, to be connected and to be at least at some level in a controlled way known. It impacts everything. I think one of the ways that you see it show up, and it's really interesting to see how this is playing out in our culture right now, is in the fitness world. I remember the first time I met somebody who went to CrossFit, right? How many of you know somebody who goes to CrossFit? Right? I would ask you to raise your hand if you go to CrossFit, but I don't want you to show off your... So, make the rest of us feel bad, but... I remember the first time that I met someone, I was talking to them, and they were raving about their gym. I mean, raving. They would not stop talking about their gym. And I was like, man, this must be a great gym. This is incredible. And I asked him, how much does it cost? And he told me it was like half my monthly salary. And I was like, wow, it must be an incredible gym. I can't even imagine how good it is. I said, well, man, it must have a great pool. He's like, no, there's no pool. I said, man, it must at least have like a hot tub and a sauna. He's like, no, not really. None of that. I was like, it must have incredible equipment. Incredible equipment. And he's like, no, we flip tires. I was like, what? It must have at least treadmills. He said, no, we run around the block. I said, you run around what? I said, you realize for what you pay monthly, you could buy everything in your gym, right? And I listened to him talk, and it was amazing because you know what? They didn't have the equipment. They didn't have, you know what they have? Community. You see it happening all over the fitness world where now it's not so much about what you're doing, but the people that you're doing it with. And because there's something inside of us that we crave it. And we'll actually pay a lot of money for it. And we find ourselves in the midst of this tension. In the midst of this tension because... We crave community and connection. But at the same time, it's too dangerous to be known. It's too dangerous to actually let people in. And so what we do is that we become great hiders and we create these very complicated facades and these images that we portray to the world around us. And we work very hard at it, and we construct them very meticulously, and we put these masks on, and we present this to the world because as long as it's the facade, then I can't really get hurt, and I can control this, and I can control what people see, and I can control what people know, and I can, it's safe. And there's something inside of us that says, man, I would really like to be known, but we tell ourselves, that's too dangerous. Just take being loved and valued for the facade. Just take being loved and valued and accepted for the facade and the safety of it. Take this. You don't want this. Being known is too dangerous. You don't want... No. Just take all that comes with the facade. And it seems like... Believe me, it seems like it's the smart decision. Most of you are sitting here thinking, that is a smart decision. That's exactly what I do, and that's exactly what I'm going to keep doing. It seems like the smart decision. It really does. Until Jesus comes into the picture. And Jesus comes into the picture, and Jesus steps into a time Really, all of history is full of it, so it's probably no more than any other. But as he steps into his culture, he confronts the facades over and over and over again. So he steps into the Pharisees' lives, and he's like, guys, come on. This isn't really who you are. This isn't who you are. You're just lying to people, and you're putting on this mask. He steps into all these different people's lives, and he just starts to break down people's facades. It makes a lot of people pretty angry. And then he does something else. In Philippians chapter 2 talks about it. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus does something that I think challenges all of us when it comes to the idea of community. Because we've made a choice. We've made a choice to trade being known for all that comes with the facade, for the safety and the glory and the value that comes with the facade. We've made that choice. But then Jesus does something, and Philippians chapter 2 talks about it, that should challenge all of us about that choice. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2. It's talking about what Jesus Christ has done for us. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Philippians, as Paul's writing to the church in Philippians, he says, listen, guys, listen. I want for you to recognize what Jesus Christ did. Because Paul had identified in the church of Philippi the exact same thing that we do, that rather than being known, that we're hiding and we're accepting the value of that and all, and that we've made this trade. He says you need to understand something about Jesus. Jesus came in and he could have hung on to his glory. He could have hung on to his value. He could have hung on to everything that was rightfully his. Right? He says, but instead, you know what he valued more than that? You know what he valued more than all of his glory? You know what he valued more than all? You know what he valued more than that? Knowing you. Community and connection. Paul says, you need to understand just how valuable being known is. He says, for Jesus, it was more valuable than all of his glory, than equality with God. He says he gives that up to be able to step into your lives. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, you need to understand this. We believe that Jesus Christ stepped into your story, that he went to the cross for you, that he gave his life for you and rose from the grave for you so that you could be known by him, so that you could stop hiding from him. And you don't have to. Some of you still are. You're still coming to God with a facade on. But Jesus goes to the cross to take care of all of the shame, anything that we would possibly hide from him, so that we could step in and just be known by him. And for him to be known by us. You see, he thinks that connection and community are that valuable. He thinks that it's more valuable than the glory that he could have clung to. And so he makes exactly the opposite trade of what we make every day. And the interesting thing about this, and I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, Philippians chapter 2, do you know what the passage is about? The passage is about community. As he's talking us through what Jesus has done, do you know why he's talking them through that? He's talking them through it because he thinks that it should impact their connection with each other. Listen to how the chapter begins. Philippians chapter 2, we read verses 6 through 8. Let me take you back to verse 1. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, So he says, listen, guys, listen. If you have any encouragement, if the fact that Jesus Christ has given his life for you so that you could be known by him and you could know him, if he says, if you have any encouragement from that, if this has impacted you in any way, and he keeps going, he says, any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, he says, then make it my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. He says, listen, if you've been impacted at all by the fact that Jesus Christ, and he goes on to talk about this, he says, remember what Jesus did, that he gave up his glory in order to be able for you to be known by him and him to be known by you. He says, if that's impacted you at all, he says, then I want you to be of the same mind, right? And I want you to pursue unity with each other. In other words, he says, I want you to make the same decision. Now, the crazy thing is that we're not holding on to glory that is rightfully ours. We're not holding on to glory that we deserve. We're holding on to glory that is associated with the facade and an image that we've created. Truth be told, it's worthless. It doesn't even satisfy us. It's why we can have all the friends in the world and we feel completely alone. Why? Because we know nobody knows me. And there's always that voice in the back of our heads that if they did, you really wouldn't have any friends at all. But Paul steps in and says, no. Guys, you've got to stop hanging on to this. And you have to do what Christ did. You have to choose to risk being known. Because community and connection is worth it. It's worth it. And I know for some of you, even as I say that, it terrifies you. It terrifies you. I know. And as we walk through the next few weeks, I want to challenge you that over the next 6 weeks, that you will find one person outside of your spouse. Your spouse needs to be one of these people, but if you're married, you have spouse plus one, okay? So you're going to find the one person that you're going to allow to know you. One person that you're going to allow to know you. Not everybody, okay? Listen, don't walk into dinner group on Tuesday night and share everything with your group, all right? It's not gonna go well. All the things that you're afraid of will probably happen, okay? So don't do that. That's not what this is about. It starts small. It starts small. It starts simple. But here's the thing. We cannot continue to live our lives with shallow community. And the reality is that Jesus Christ did not just die so that we could have community with him. He died so that we could have community with each other as well. So I want to challenge you, and you don't have to do it this week, but I want to challenge you to find one person that you are going to allow to know you. The good, the bad, the ugly, the hopes, the fears, the serious, the ridiculous, that you're going to finally just take down the facade. Say, okay. And you're going to follow the example of Jesus. You're going to leave behind the safety and the fake glory and the fake value that was associated with the facade, and you will be known. As we walk through the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to do that well. One of the great things, again, about God is that he comes alongside of us. He's like, come on. Let me teach you. And we're going to look at how, through the New Testament, he teaches us to have healthy community. We're going to talk about key relationships in our lives and these different circles in our lives and the way that we relate to them, how to be able to manage them. Some of you, you walked in and you're like, community, please, I can't add another person to my life. I can't add another person because it's just crazy. And there's so many questions about how to manage the circles in your life. And we're going to talk about that and how God teaches us about that. We look at Paul's life and how he did that. It's going to be great. It's going to be great, but it's built on this. It's built on this. That with at least one person, you're going to take down the facade. Because otherwise, the rest of what we talked about is just going to be empty. Jesus Christ came. He came to connect us with him and to connect us with each other. Let me just share with you the dream. Let me share with you the dream. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for the church. He's praying to his Father. There's a few times where we get to see Jesus' conversation with the Father. This is one of them. Listen to what it says. John chapter 17, verse 22. It says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, that they may be connected, that they may live in community the way that Jesus lived in community with his Father. May they be brought to complete unity. Let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is the dream. Over the next few weeks, we're going to pursue it together. It's worth it. It's worth it. And I think it's going to be amazing how God teaches us to experience it. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this, I pray that you would allow us to be able to see this the way that you see it. And there's not one of us who would have given up the glory that you gave up to pursue community and connection, and yet you did. And so, Father, you have to do something in our lives to change the way that we see it, to be able to see what you see, so that we can value the connection that we have with those around us, that we can value our connection with you the way that you do. Father, I thank you for how you teach us and guide us and lead us. I'm just excited to walk through this conversation with you and for what it's going to mean for me, for our church, for all of us as we do this together. And Father, I just pray exactly what your son prayed. I just pray that we would realize that you've loved us even as you loved him. And that we would be able to experience the community that you experience with your son. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I know, again, I should have told the lights guys I was going to keep talking. I know as I started out the conversation, I told you that dinner groups aren't going to solve everything when it comes to community. But at the same time, as we walk through this conversation, you need to have this conversation with other people. And it's going to be very, very, very difficult for you to be able to take the steps that we're talking about and for you to be able to grow in this without being inside of a group of people, a community of people. It's not going to be the answer to it, but it's the beginning. It's a step in the right direction. So if you're here today, you're not part of a dinner group, I encourage you, get signed up for a dinner group. You can do that at the connection points in the back. You can do that on your online program. Get plugged into a dinner group. We've got these cool things that are starting off this week. I think they start meeting next week, actually, but they're starting off. They're 10-week groups, all right? 10-week commitment. You don't even have to commit for 10 weeks. Just go for 6 weeks, all right? Tell them that I told you it was okay, okay? Just go for 6 weeks. Just go for this series where we're talking through this. Right? So that you can engage other people in this conversation. We can learn from each other. It's not going to be the answer, but it's a step in the right direction and a crucial tool in what we're talking about. And so make sure that you get connected so we can experience what God's going to teach us.